Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2021. Week 10, college football. Week 9, NFL. Now is the time where we think we know the teams, but Vegas knows the teams better. It's also the time of year we start to shed a little tear because, damn, we're about done with this thing on the college football side anyway. Welcome to the Steaming Pile of Picks podcast, where each week, myself, Matt, and my great co-host, Uncle Steve, break down the upcoming week's college and NFL slate. How we doing, Uncle Steve?
Doing great, Matty. We got Maction on now, so.
Oh, we do love some Maction, don't we? They do say if you have more than two Maction games on your weekly betting, you are a true degenerate, and I believe we already have two for the week, and it's only Wednesday night. So, all right. As always, we recap the prior weeks real quickly, and we are in true late season form. The last 2 weeks, we are combined 6-14 on the podcast and 0-8. In our latte picks, which we post to Twitter every Saturday afternoon, 0-8 in the last two. And if we go back 4 weeks, it's something like 2-15. So good news for our listeners, going against our podcast picks puts you somewhere around 70, 75, even close to 80% over the last 2 to 3 weeks. So keep it rolling.
Best in the nation.
Best in the nation, I guarantee you that. The thing is, just don't go with us, go against us. And as always, we have a guest picker. This week's guest picker is Wade. Wade is not going to be picking NFL and college games. This week's Wade is going to give us a little twist. Wade, how are we doing tonight?
Doing well, fellas. How you guys doing?
All great. Right. And Wade is live from Kentucky, the great state. Is that true?
Yeah, I'm trying to get lucky in Kentucky, fellas.
Hey, can't argue with that for sure. So Wade's got a 4 picks for us. No, not in college. No, not in NFL. Where are you going tonight with 4 picks for us, Wade?
We're going to sunny Southern California, and we're gonna look at the Breeders' Cup on Saturday.
Breeders' Cup on Saturday. All right, educate us.
Well, boys, I tell you what, you know. Looking at the card, I think it's going to favor some local horses. So horses that have had an out on the track are certainly going to have an advantage, I think. I think the home court advantage is going to ring true. And so looking at the 8th race at Del Mar, which is the Breeders' Cup sprint going 3/4 of a mile, I looked at Dr. Schievel. You got the combination of Flavian Pratt and Mark Glatt. Together, they're hotter than a $2 pistol. And I think you'll get some odds on Dr. Schievel, and I think he'll run big. Going to the 9th, looking at the turf mile, a horse named Morfosa. He's the combination of Flavian Pratt again, and you also get Peter Miller, which anyone who follows horse racing knows that sometimes Peter gives these horses a little added advantage. And I think that'll be the case. I think Mo will sneak up on some people, and I think he'll pay a price.
I think so I like that one. I think Wado, I was just looking this over, one of our longer shot deal, we got blowout with the Joel Rosario and Chad Brown
connection. You can't go wrong there either. Yeah.
Joel's known as probably the best turf jockey in America, and Chad Brown is one of the top trainers, so that's gonna be my long shot there.
Well, and that's good insight, Stevie, because, you know, they do an all-turf Kentucky Downs meet down here in Franklin, Kentucky, and Joel Rosario ruled that meet. He absolutely dominated. So that's a great angle, Steve.
All right. And then back to the Breeders' Cup sprint one, race 8. People got to watch out for this Firenze Fire. This horse is a savage. Wade, you can let him know what he did last time out.
Well, if he don't beat you, he might eat you. So going down the stretch, he was in a head-to-head duel and decided to try to take a bite out of the horse coming up on this outside, and they call it savaging it. And he savaged him. He held him for he got a hold of his bridle, and he held it a good 20 feet probably. You know, and those horses are cruising 35, 40 miles an hour. That's a scary deal if you're a jock trying to keep your horse straight. He's trying to bite his rival. So, yeah, he's a mean one, Stevie.
Yep. Wow.
Goodness. All right. Eighth and ninth race. Any other races?
Yeah, we're going to look at I skipped the 10th, although I'll give it to you guys as a bonus pick. It's number three, Malafat. I think that's a Belly Mott horse. I think she'll be very tough. But I don't think you're going to get much odds, so I kind of tossed it. But looking at the 11th, which is the turf, I like this race. And a horse named Japan, he's number 14. He's probably the best bred horse that you'll see on the card. And when I talk about being well-bred, he's bred for the distance. He's bred for the turf. He's out of the world's leading turf sire named Galileo. And you got jockey Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien. Those guys pretty much have the best turf horses in the world. And John Magner, Coolmore Farms, that's his connection. And they haven't made some noise for a while in the Breeders' Cup. I look for them to make some noise Saturday with Japan, and he's going to be – he's long odds. He's a long shot. So, you know, find a horse you like, put him with it, and I think you'll do well.
There you go. All right. Any others?
Yep. We'll go to the Classic. And, you know, again, I mentioned it to you guys earlier. I think that horses that have had an out over the Del Mar course, I think it'll help them. This one, number one, Tripoli, I've got him. He's got Irad Ortiz up, who's one of the best dirt riders in the nation. Great jockey. He's got a clock in his head that's seldomly wrong. I think that he'll have this son of Kitten's Joy well-placed. He'll save ground being on the rail, coming out of the one hole. It doesn't really hurt him here, going the classic distance at Del Mar. And John Sadler can get a horse right. And he's been prepping this horse for this race for a long time. Again, long shot. You know, I'm giving you some value here. So pick it with one that you like. Put it in exacta combo, and you should do well.
Man.
All right.
Good advice. It's like playing those electronic ones at the D, isn't it? And you just pair it with one you like and call it good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You bet, Maddie. Hey, I like what you said earlier. I hope to keep your guys' percentages alive. So, you know, if you want to pick against me, you're probably going to do all right.
I don't know. Wade's known as one of the better handicappers around. He's also owns some shares in four or five or six horses now. Who knows? He just keeps adding to his stable, so.
Well, I'm adding until she threatens divorce, Steve. So I learned the other night I might be getting close.
All right.
men and their vices. I understand that well.
All it takes is one more win. She'll be happy.
Yeah, that's right. It's hey, man, horse racing is a beautiful sport. I love it. But the highs are extremely high, and the lows, we won't even talk about them because suicide's a bad thing.
Very good. All right, Wade, do you have any insight, Steve, or are you giving all of yours?
Nope, that's all I've got.
All right, Wade, thank you so much for joining us. Steve will hook you up with a little garb, and I will be locked in on Saturday to some horse racing, and I'm going to sprinkle in just because of your insight here. So really appreciate the time.
You bet. I'm hoping for the steaming pile of picks, stroke of luck on my own bets, fellas. And I appreciate you having me on.
There you go. Take care, sir.
All right, fellas. We'll see you.
Thanks, Wade. Right.
You bet. We'll see you. Bye-bye.
Wow, Steve. That was good stuff.
Wade knows his horses.
It is obvious that Wade knows his horses. So I was a little lost with everything he said, but at the end of the day, I'll play it at what is it, half speed, and I'll make my bets on Saturday.
There you go.
Yes. So how about you? I don't assume you're going anywhere except college and NFL, but I may be wrong.
Nope. We're going to start off down the ACC with Georgia Tech and Miami. We got Miami's minus 10, and the over-under 63 on this one. Miami's won two in a row against NC State and Pitt. A couple of good teams. Pretty pass happy. Last week, they're 426 yards passing, with only 64 on the ground. Penalties, as always, are still a concern for them. Georgia Tech, they've lost three of four. Duke's their only win in October. D gives up 450 yards a game. They don't get any turnovers, but I see this as a letdown game for Miami. I'm going Georgia Tech plus 10.
Plus 10. I am seeing 9.5 right now.
Well,
you'll take that all day, I'm guessing.
Well,
maybe, 10, maybe not. 10, you'll take 10. I'll lock you in at 10 because I do see that number out there as well.
All right.
We'll give you the possibility of the push.
I'll need it.
You might. You never know. All right. Well, I'm going to start with the only team left in NFL or college that has not covered the spread this year, and that is those Missouri Tigers. Just talk about them week in and week out, and seems to be kind of my only victory of each week is when I pick against Missouri. So Georgia is a 38-point favorite at home against Missouri. That's a lot of points. But in the last 5 weeks in SEC play, Georgia's outscored their opponents 237-43, including a beatdown of a pretty decent Auburn team by 24. And I think Auburn would destroy Missouri. Most importantly in this thing, Georgia's 6-2 against the spread, and they're beating the spread by more than 12 points. Georgia's defense is giving up 6 points per game to the likes of Kentucky, Auburn, and Florida. Meanwhile, Missouri's defense is giving up 36 per game to the likes of Vanderbilt and North Texas. I feel like Georgia's going to hang a 50-burger on Mizzou, and I sure don't see Missouri scoring more than 7, maybe 10 at the very most. But I like Georgia minus 38 at home.
Well, I think the bookmakers are showing it as about a 48-10 game with the over-under 59.
That seems to be the number.
That seems a little high for me, but.
Yeah, it would surprise me to get to the over, but I do think Georgia's going to cover that 38 points. And they've got to win in style. They can't do anything wrong. So if for some reason Missouri was going to find a way to put up 14, I could see them going well over 50 just to make it look like a beatdown, because in case there's a slip-up, Georgia's going to need style points. But I don't feel like Georgia's going to need style points at the end of the year.
Probably not.
All right, man. Where are you at next?
We're going to go Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee State. Western Kentucky's 14.5, over under 67. Western Kentucky's won 3 in a row. Their losses have been to Army, Indiana, the Roadrunners, and Michigan State.
Everybody's been beat by the Roadrunners, so that's okay.
Yeah. They average 40 a game on offense, give up 30 a game. Middle Tennessee State's won 3 of their last 4. Their losses this year, Virginia Tech, the Roadrunners, and Liberty. They average 30 a game. Defense gives up 26 a game. I see this as a tight contest. I'm taking Middle Tennessee plus 14.5.
Plus 14.5. All right. I am going to stay with small schools. In fact, to independent school. Liberty, you did just mention them. They're going to Ole Miss as a 9.5-point underdog. This should be an easy line here. You got the number 16 team in the country, fourth best team, maybe third best team, maybe even second best team in the SEC at home, covering 10 points against a Liberty Flames team that's a 7-2 independent with wins against North Texas, Middle Tennessee State, UMass, UAB, Old Dominion. Joey Saltwater's team has only lost twice to Alabama and Auburn. But in their last three wins, only one has been by more than 10 points. Their D is giving up almost 30 a game. And against the spread, Ole Miss is only 4-4 on the season. Liberty is averaging 37 points per game on offense, and they're giving up 17 on defense. And most importantly for this podcast, Liberty is 6-3 on the season, and they're catching Ole Miss between a loss last week and a really big game at Texas A&M next week. So I feel like Ole Miss and Joey might be sleeping a little bit, probably get the win here. But covering 9.5 is going to be a difficulty. So I'm going the Flames covering 9.5 points. How about you?
Surprised that you go against Joey.
I know. And if they get this win, they're going to be very close to my totals for the season. So I kind of hope that they get beat, but I'm not going to go money line on this thing.
No. We're going to go Florida International and Old Dominion.
Wow.
Old Dominion's 2.5 point favorite. 51's the over under. Old Dominion's won one of their last four. Their defense is gives up about 354 yards a game. Offense scores about 23 points a game. Florida International offense scores about 23 points a game. Defense gives up 37 points a game, 500 yards. Their only win this year is against LIU in the season opener, and their games aren't even close. So we're going Old Dominion -2.5 on this one.
-2.5. Yeah, that doesn't seem like a impressive string for Florida International there.
No, they're struggling.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to switch to the Big Ten Conference, and I'm rowing the boat again this week, Steve. I know. And apparently everybody in Minnesota is rowing the boat because they extended that guy through 2028 to the tune of about $35 million today. So Illinois at Minnesota. Minnesota is a 15.5 point favorite. This thing started out at 13.5. It's gone to 15.5 quickly. Everyone's kind of sleeping on Minnesota, but they just keep rowing the boat like Nicolas Cage in The Boy in Blue. And Steve doesn't know what that is because he doesn't watch movies.
Never.
But our listeners definitely will know what that is. After the hole that got ripped in the boat in the loss to Bowling Green, PJ Fleck put some Flexi Seal on that thing, drained all the water out of it. He's got another young running back, which I don't know how they just keep bringing these running backs up, but this Marquise Irving, he's rushed for 220-some yards and 3 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. If you have a running game like that, you can be pretty dangerous. Since that Bowling Green loss, they've hung 4 straight wins. They find themselves in control of their destiny to win the Big Ten West and cover my win totals for them if they get 3 of the 4. And since 2017, Minnesota is the best team in the Big Ten against the spread overall and at home. And this year, they're 6-2 against the spread. Illinois, on the other hand, they beat Nebraska in week 1. Then they've dropped 6 of the last 8. And they are the second worst team in the Big Ten against the spread, next to Nebraska since 2017. PJ is going to keep that boat rowing and covering 15.5 on Saturday morning in Minneapolis. How about you, Steve?
We'll switch gears here. We're going to head on over to the NFL. We're going to go Rams, Titans, 7.5 and 53.5. Not much to say about this game. The Rams, they're just rolling right along. They pick up Von Miller, which –
scary.
They didn't need.
they did not need.
Titans, obviously everyone knows Derrick Henry's out. They signed Adrian Peterson, but that's not going to do anything. I'm going to go under the total of 53.5. I don't see Tennessee scoring much here at all. Probably Rams cover this pretty easy, 7.5, but the 53.5 is where I'm going.
Yeah, that under. Makes a lot of sense. I didn't know which direction. Well, I knew which direction you're going, but I do like the unders better than the total or the spread on that one. So, yeah, that hurts many people's fantasy teams with Derrick Henry gone. Maybe yours, possibly.
been a bad week for fantasy.
It has. Your team has taken a few hits. And on that, but it's a good week to face you, and that would be me. So,
yep, you're welcome.
I'm going to stay in the Big Ten for one more game before I go to my NFL game. I'm going to go with the Michigan State at Purdue game. Michigan State is a 3.5-point favorite. At the beginning of the season, if anyone had picked a team from Michigan to be in the college football playoff, it sure wouldn't have been the Spartans. I know that. But that is precisely where this team is. Somehow they just keep pounding the rock, playing a little defense. I do believe the turning point for Sparty was when I picked them straight up as a 7-point dog against the Miami Hurricanes in week 3. And since then, they've just been rolling. So if they take care of business against Purdue and then home against Maryland, they got a November 20th matchup at the Shoe against Ohio State to possibly solidify a spot in the college football playoff. So I think they're focused. They seem to be ready, playing a balanced offensive attack with 244 yards passing, 200 yards rushing. They're only allowing 120 yards rushing on defense, which is pretty good. And but the key here, I think, is going to be the Sparty's pass defense. Purdue's got a pretty salty pass game, as Nebraska learned. They spread the ball out to 6-7 receivers, and they're averaging a little over 300 yards per game. But Purdue is hot or cold, and you don't know which Purdue team you're going to get. They're 4-4 against the spread. They're 1-3 against the spread at home this year. And Michigan State, 7-1 against the spread this season. Second best only to who, Steve? Syracuse. Syracuse is the best team in the nation against the spread. And Sparties are 4-0. On the road against the spread this year. So I think Sparty's going to West Lafayette and cover 3.5.
Well, I think Mel Tucker's coaching to get that LSU job.
Man, it would be really sad for those Sparty fans to get that type of spark and then lose him to a different program. But it does seem like that might be his logical stepping stone. How about you, man? You going to finish up in the NFL?
Yeah, we're going New England, Carolina, -4 New England and 41. Mac Jones seems to be getting pretty comfortable in that offense. They've won 3 of 4. Carolina, on the other hand, has lost 4 of 5. They have no receivers, no running back, no quarterback. Their offense is just brutal. So we're going New England minus four.
England covering. Can't even disagree with anything you just said. Sadly enough, but that hot streak that the Panthers
had. They said McCaffrey might be back this week, yeah. So we'll see.
We'll see. We will, but I don't think that changes much either. So.
Nope.
All right, I'm going to go with my only NFL pick and wrap this thing up. I'm going with the easiest game on the board, Packers at Chiefs. Pick 'em. Oh, no, not a pick 'em anymore. It's now Chiefs minus 7.5. Let me just break down like four or five reasons to go with one of these teams. One team is 4-4. The other team is 7-1. One team's coming off a short week. The other team's coming off a long week. One team's 2-6 against the spread. The other's 7-1 against the spread. One team is 0-4 against the spread at home this season, and 4-10 the last two seasons at home. The other is 4-0 on the road this season, and 9-3 the last two seasons on the road. One of the teams just lost their quarterback for being shady about his vaccination and testing positive for COVID and all of that. So who do you go with here? That is too big of a line move. You don't go from pick 'em to minus 7.5 unless that 7.5 favors a really good team. And anybody that saw the Kansas City Chiefs play the New York Giants Monday night, we know that's not a good team. And in addition to all the reasons that I just listed above, everything in that short category was the Kansas City Chiefs. They stink against the spread. And I don't care if it's Jordan Love or Blake Bortles, or maybe they'll even bring Matt Flynn back because that guy played two games and threw for like 10 touchdowns.
Made a lot of money, though.
He made a ton of money in doing so. Whoever they put there, they're going to run the rock right at Kansas City. There's no way that Kansas City comes out and beats the Chiefs or the Packers by more than a touchdown in this game. So I got Packers plus 7.5 to end this debacle of a week.
You forgot to mention Tanyan's also out for the year.
Oh yes. Didn't mention that, but I'm sure they got somebody that can catch a ball, but I do think that Green Bay just needs to run the rock all game long. Straight at, just like Tennessee did to Kansas City. I know they don't have a Derrick Henry type running back, but between A.J. Dillon, I think that they can put together just a running game. Should have Devontae back, got Randall Cobb. I just think that they can keep this thing at least close, if not just still with the thing.
Despite, money line?
No, I'm not going money line, but I'm definitely going plus 7.5.
All right,
man. Any closing, parting words for anybody?
No, just going to be a good weekend. Watch a lot of horses and football and
just have some fun, right?
Yeah.
All right. We'll keep those Saturday afternoon latte picks coming. We are just on some type of roll with that thing. Keep them coming, and I'm sure we'll be in touch, brother.
Sounds good.
All right. As they say in the investment world, past performance is not a guarantee of future results. But as they say in the real world, when you step in it, if it smells like it and it looks like it, it's probably it. Good night.